Last week on Channel 4, The Jury and a Murder Trial, described as a landmark experiment, a real-life murder trial is restaged in front of two juries of ordinary people. Question: will they both reach the same verdict after they've heard all the evidence? You might know the answer to that because you may have watched it. I'm halfway through. And where I am at the moment is with some very interesting discussions amongst the jurors about loss of control. Is there a defence to be made because of severe provocation and somebody losing it because they have a red mist arising around them, they don't see clearly or even feel like themselves anymore, and something terrible happens because of that? And I wonder if you've ever felt very angry yourself. I wonder when the last time was that you were angry and what it was that made you angry. And I wonder whether you've ever experienced the red mist, the sense of losing it because your feelings are so roused. And whilst we're thoughtful about that, we might be with Jesus in the temple that day when he appeared to lose it, but did he? And whilst we're pondering that, let's go back in time and imagine a world where love guides every attitude and action. A place where God is recognised and respected, a community where people respect and care for others. The faith community and the wider community that God had in mind when he gave the Ten Commandments. It was 1500 years or so before the time of Jesus when those commandments were given. And they were given along with a commission to God's people to make him known to the nations, to be a light for the nations, so that they also could find God and find this kingdom of love and beauty and compassion and care that is founded by those Ten Commandments. And all those years later, there is Jesus in the temple, and he is so angry that he is expressing his anger very physically, overturning tables, setting animals free and driving them out of the temple marketplace outside the temple. He is so angry that he is a far cry from the meek and mild Jesus that we sometimes imagine him to be. And I find this captivating myself. I don't know about you. Because when I see passion, I am caught by it and I wonder about its source. And with Jesus, I'm wondering about the source of his passion that day. And what is it that makes him so angry? And I cast a look around the Gospels in other directions to see what had made Jesus angry in other places and at other times in his ministry. And this is what it seemed to be. It seemed to be that when people put rules over the well-being of people, that was not okay. When he healed a paralyzed man with a paralyzed arm on the Sabbath day, he was in such trouble for that. And that made him angry. He was angry when children were pushed aside and kept away from him when he wanted them to come close. And how good it is today, isn't it, to hear some children in church, their voices and their chatter and maybe their footsteps if they decide to explore a little bit. How good is that? Jesus wanted that. And he didn't like and was made angry by self-righteousness, selfish ambition, greed, abuse of power, neglect of the poor and the needy, and he hated it. I mean, he hated it when people made it difficult for other people to find God. And that's what was happening in the temple that day. He saw it as a place of exploitation, where women were marginalized, where the Gentiles, the people who were outside of the faith, were restricted in access to God. They could only really be in the marketplace on the margins. They couldn't get closer. The poor were denied access because they couldn't pay their way in by paying to make a sacrifice. And the kind of details that might be helpful to picture the scene: to buy a dove would cost a full day's wage, but to buy a guaranteed unblemished dove, acceptable for sacrifice, that would cost a full 3 weeks' wages. And the temple tax was 2 days' pay, but Gentile coins bore graven images, and it cost another day's pay to get the money changed into the temple coinage. So people were being exploited left, right, and centre before they could get access in to meet God. And from all parts of the world, people had come on pilgrimage, people from across the Roman world who'd heard about the faith and who wanted to get to know God and who were seeking him. They came to the temple excited to get closer, and they found that they couldn't get beyond the very edge. They couldn't get inside. They weren't allowed. And there was so much death in the temple at that time. The death of the hopes and dreams of people wanting to meet God and worship him. The death of many, many animals. I mean thousands every day being sacrificed. And most of all, what bothered Jesus and made him very, very angry, all this meant a lack of connection, a death of connection between God and people. And instead of being a light to the nations, there was darkness over the nations. And he had come to the point where this anguish within him that was roused by what he saw was expressed, and it was expressed physically. And it was so bemusing to everybody that saw what happened that they were full of questions, as we should be. What has made him so angry, and what authority does he have to upend everything that's gone before and almost say this just won't do. This won't do. So he said to them in response to their question, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. They didn't know what he was talking about, but we do. His disciples soon discovered it when he was killed and he was to become the sacrifice that would make a different way of connecting with God possible for people. So let me read something written by a tutor that I had at Theological College. His name is Alan Garrow. He wrote this: "A man walks into a dining room, sweeps all the food off the laden table, and sits on the table himself. What is he saying? There are several possibilities. He could be complaining about the food. He could be saying that he's in need of psychiatric help. Alternatively, he could be saying, 'I am the meal.' He was acting out a simple parable. The animals on sale that day were to be used as sacrifices. By clearing them out and standing in their place, he was saying, 'I am the true sacrifice that replaces this imperfect and abused sacrificial system. I'm the one. This isn't the way.' All this has made me very thoughtful today, and I encourage you to be too. If the thing that really got to Jesus, the heart of his passion that day, was that people were being kept from him, people were being kept from God, and were being hindered by the very people who should have been the ones to help them find their way. The religious leaders of the time, I turn the spotlight on myself and I think, how do I hinder people rather than helping them to find Jesus? How do we, if we're the people, and if this is the church today, is a bit like the temple of that day, it's where people come to meet God. If we're those people, if this is the place, is there anything we do that stops people finding him? Is there any more that we could do to facilitate them getting there, knowing Jesus? And the PCC are very thoughtful at the moment. We are together, all of us, this faith community, about the building itself. Is there anything we can do to facilitate what might happen in here for good for people as they come and spend time here? Is there any way that we could make it more open to more people, more of the time, so that they can come in and pray and worship and be with Jesus in this beautiful, quiet, holy place that is longed for in the hearts of many people out there? Do you know the church is open in the week only for about an hour and a half? That doesn't seem right somehow. However, it may not be possible yet. We may be working towards that. It's a longing in my heart. What would make it possible? Thoughtful. Let's all be thoughtful. And if people were to come in, how would they find ways to pray? Could we give them ways of praying? How would they find out about Jesus? Could we give them ways of knowing him? Invite them into possible ways to get closer. All these things are to be wondered about. Very useful to be thoughtful about this in the week ahead, because if you can come to Vision Morning next Saturday and bring your thoughts, bring your hopes, bring your alignment with Jesus, that would be so good. Jesus, the motivation for his anger is his steadfast love. It's his steadfast love that took him from the temple courts that day, a little later in his earthly life, to the cross. That's how much he was prepared to pay to make this way possible for people to find God. So whatever it costs us, it won't be as much as that, will it? It won't. Price, the priceless price has been paid already by Jesus. The motivation for his anger is his steadfast love, and it would do well to be ours too, wouldn't it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.